Thank you very much for coming here today, and I'm very happy to welcome General Palomeros for his first meeting with the Brussels Press Corps. As you know, he's responsible for transformation at NATO since the end of September when he took over from General Apriyal. Le général Palomeros est au cœur.
General Palomeros is at the heart of the transformation process of the alliance to transform and to efficiently transform NATO in a very difficult economic environment with new threats arising, which are a real challenge. And ACT is also in charge of reflection on what will happen in Afghanistan after 2014. General Palomeros spoke to the Council, to ambassadors, last week. And this morning, he's in front of you. General, I'll give you the floor. Many thanks, Anna. Good morning. Good morning to you all. It is a true pleasure for me to be here before you. And I took up this post as Allied Commander for Transformation in Norfolk over about 3 months ago. As Oana has just said, I put my ideas and priorities as I saw them before the Council last week. And I spoke to the military committee as well. And we'll also be speaking to chiefs of defense and chiefs of staff this week before ministers meet in February. Now, why is NATO transformation so essential today? Well, because today's environment is marked by very important and thoroughgoing changes in the strategic and political landscape and the economic environment as well. NATO, over the various years since its foundation, has been able to rise to the challenges before it for the very simple reason that the alliance has transformed, has evolved as and when new challenges arose. The end of the Cold War, for instance, the Balkans, Afghanistan, operation in Libya, and I was Chief of Staff in France at the time, Chief of Defense. So NATO needs to continue preparing for future challenges, and that's very much my remit as Allied Commander for Transformation. There are uncertainties in the economic environment with budget cuts in different NATO countries, and we need to find a coordinated response. The objective is to lay before chiefs of defense staff, before ambassadors and before ministers, capabilities and answers that the alliance needs to put for crisis management, for collective defense, and for its various duties. And in order to do this, we need to think of operations in Afghanistan, redeployment of forces, and of NATO's mission. We need to do so while maintaining interoperability, availability, efficiency of NATO's military forces within this transformation, while training forces of the alliance. This is what we call the Connective Forces Initiative, CFI. That's my first priority, to maintain at the highest level the interoperability and the availability of alliance forces. Training, collective training, has since December been entrusted to Allied Command Operations, ACO. Collective training is extremely important in this context. And we will come with a new training concept which will ensure a synergy between the various different countries, NATO member states, to ensure maximum efficiency. This collective training is also based, is also complemented by individual training. And that's where ACT will be coming forward with proposals in the field of e-learning, among others. You know that NATO is one of the first providers, one of the main providers of e-learning in the world. We want to be able to train our soldiers, our men and women and their commanders in the new environment, to be able to better prepare our men and women, and to be able to gain savings. So individual training, e-learning, is a key tool. Speaking of this priority of interconnected forces, the Connected Forces Initiative, maintaining their interoperability and efficiency, well, we have a remarkable tool. It's the NRF, the NATO Response Force. And in the conclusions of the Chicago Defense Package, we can read about the reinforcement of the NRF, boosting the NRF to adapt it to current situations by drawing maximum advantage of the new command structures, reduced command structures, leaner, fitter command structures, more suitable for today's context. And that's where the NRF is going to be given all the necessary means to be, to remain a tool for operations and also for transformation, to validate certain concepts and to deploy certain items of equipment or command techniques. Second great chapter is ensuring coherence between the different elements of the alliance through a planning system, the NATO Defense Planning Process, the NDPP. This process is a collective process which follows a level of ambition by setting various different capability targets and objectives. This is a priority for us because it allows us to ensure consistency in development of alliance capabilities in the environment of which I've been speaking. The development of threats, of risks, and economic developments as well. The NDPP is the cement, the alliance glue, if you will. We need to be able to respond efficiently and quickly. And this is where smart defense comes into play, to be able to give rapid replies to today's challenges. Missile defense, cyber defense, and intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, the famous JISR triad. So coordinated planning, efficient planning, visible planning at the political level, so that all countries and can be able to participate together in the search for a transatlantic balance. My last priority is going to continue to develop alliance partnerships in the spirit and in the spirit of Chicago, with different partner countries and partner organizations, the European Union, among others. You know, 21 alliance countries are also members of the European Union. And this wish to cooperate across the Atlantic is very present. The European Union has capability development goals, the pooling and sharing concept. And these EU initiatives need to be coordinated with ours so that there is no duplication, so that we can, in fact, draw maximum benefit from what each of us is doing in the world to come. So partnerships with organizations, but also with countries, developing centers of excellence, which are extremely useful to us. These centers of excellence will further boost our efficiency. So those are my priorities. One thing is clear, of course. history, once again, is history never stands still. We will be seeing the end of operations in Afghanistan, and we're going to be more in training and in support. There's going to be the strategic concept reflections. ACT is here and is here to stay. The decision was the right one. Allied Command for Transformation is extremely relevant for all the reasons I've put before you. And I'm ready to continue this reflection with you, given that Chiefs of Defense Staff will be meeting this week at NATO, and ministers will be meeting at NATO in February to work on this action plan which ACT has proposed to reinforce capacity, capabilities, training, cooperation between forces and partnerships. Many thanks.
Happy to take questions either in English or French, but please don't forget to introduce yourselves before you do. Europa Press.
Thank you, General. I don't know if you could explain a little bit more to us about how much we're going to reinforce this NATO response force, and also if you could let us know how much more coordination in intelligence NATO wants to achieve between its member states. I understand that training in this kind of interoperability of intelligence was also going to be a big part for the future. And then maybe we can ask you other questions afterwards. I don't know.
Thank you for these two very essential questions. First and foremost, the NATO Response Force. As you know, it has been established almost 10 years ago. It was very successful, whether it was not used by itself, but it set up a standard, and it somewhere raised the standard of the forces, of NATO forces, up to this standard, which was fixed really by the alliance. So, and nowadays, we feel that there is a need to reinvigorate that, including, by the way, the U.S. Units, which will be, as it was declared by the United States, as a rotational units for taking part into the NRF. We see as well the need to use at best the command and control structures, which has just been put in place with the joint two joint command established in Brunsum and Naples, and as well to give more deployability capability to NRF. And as you know, as the systems and technology is improving, that will help us to connect all the players, and we see NRF as being the key driver in this transformation as well, including the new and modern technology and the best equipment, the best system that can be used to accomplish the mission which is set up for NRF. NRF being obviously the more visible and the most ready tool of NATO in the inventory to face any kind of crisis, urgent crisis, emergent crisis. As far as intelligence is concerned, was on a flagship project in the Smart Defense, which is really embedded other projects, is the Joint Intelligence and Surveillance and Reconnaissance. Why is that? Because all every operations NATO faced in the recent past asks for a more robust, coordinated, and operational usable intelligence. We have seen that sadly in Afghanistan, and even more sadly in Libya. I told you I was the chief of French Air Force by this time, and the lack of permanent surveillance and intelligence was certainly identified as one of the major lessons learned. I will add as well that the alliance ground system, surveillance system, AGS, is part of the answer. And what we see is the more and the more connecting all the means, all the assets, and all the players in this very important field of intelligence together, using as well the best of technologies to get in real time, robust and improve intelligence, which is the key for success of operations in the new world, I would say.
Jan, I think has another question.
Merci. Jan Cordis de l'Agence Europe.
Thank you, Ian Cordis, Agence Europe. General, I have three questions. First, since you joined, things have remained stable. What will happen this year? You also talked about the new training concept. Could you be more specific? How will it differ from previous concepts? And last question regarding multinational projects, which you did not mention in your introductory remarks. Could you perhaps say a few words on that? How many projects are there? How many projects have been launched? Can we expect new projects this year? Thank you. As regards the budget, the ACT budget has been stabilized. I'm very grateful to those who've made a decision in this regard. It's a fairly modest budget, but it covers training activities, which are important. It also covers capability development activities, which aim at providing quick responses using modern technology. And for more ambitious projects, it might take years, but we are trying to increase the tempo of the capability response in light of requirements, namely the more urgent requirements. And I'm thinking namely of the work that has been done regarding counter-IED. ACT in this regard played an important role and has been able to set up very useful policy. So, yes, the budget is stable, but it covers a broader area now. So we're doing more and better with less. Now, as regards the training concept, the idea is to try to have as much synergy as possible from the various exercises by involving many actors, many players. What is new, and that is in particular thanks to information technologies, thanks to simulation technologies, we can today simultaneously train several command levels as well as forces in the field. We have shown this through an exercise that was conducted by the Joint Warfare Center, which is a unit of ACT located in Norway, and with US units which will be deployed shortly in Afghanistan. We have trained more than 6,000 players simultaneously in 14 different centers in Europe or in the US using a simulation and with a great added value, and we need to stress that. This is why this new concept is so important. It is going to provide an added value to this requirement, which is absolutely necessary to train forces. We're going to present this to the chiefs of defense next week or this week and to the defense ministers. Of course, we want to have their agreement because we want their commitment as regards this concept. Of course, we will tell you more once everything is agreed. Your last question is very important, multinational projects. Well, I think you're probably referring to smart defense, to smarter defense, optimized defense, as I call it. We have today more than 150 different projects, a portfolio of some 150 projects, which are very different in nature. The idea of smart defense is not to focus only on equipment projects. We also want to take into account training projects, different type of organization projects, capability sharing, role sharing projects as well, and specialization by design projects, so that everybody can play his part, sharing responsibilities and roles. Out of those 150 projects, 25 are more prominent. We're working in particular on projects that may have less visibility, but that are still very important, such as logistics projects, medical projects, which are absolutely necessary for the conduct of operations today. But there are also projects on missile defense, cyber defense is also becoming important. We have projects in this area, and we also try to meet capability requirements in the areas I mentioned earlier, namely intelligence, in particular drones that are used for intelligence, such as the AGS project and other future projects, I hope. I hope that I would like to recall that these projects are conducted by nations, for the nations. We help them, and I do in particular in my capacity as special envoy. I discuss with nations to try to help them, to enable them to identify all the opportunities to cooperate together and to try to establish a common understanding that will be useful and efficient.
Al-Hayat.
General, I have two questions. On this new e-learning initiative, what about the failure rate? What's happening, for instance, in the problems among the different intelligence service of NATO, various different NATO hubs were trapped by Afghan insurgents? Second question on Libya. When can we have a detailed rundown of the results in Libya, a stock take? On your first question, sir. Yes. The whole advantage of e-learning is that it doesn't replace training on the spot. E-learning allows us to better prepare our players on an individual basis, the servicemen and women, for their future missions, by giving them all the different items necessary to be able to get ready for their future tasks. Rather than teaching them these tasks in the field, when they arrive in theater, we think it's better that these tasks, that these needs and requirements be laid down and prepared beforehand. So we're talking about preparing these people so that all servicemen and women and their commanders could be prepared to the necessary level of competence. So it's a new cost-saving and efficient method, allowing everybody to make the necessary efforts. Of course, you need to make an effort yourself, and you need to be certified afterwards as having the necessary level of ability and skills. Now, this documentation is now online, available to everybody, allowing everybody, each and every one, to be able to place themselves in a very complex environment. Because after, in today's world, after university, e-learning fills a new niche, and it will never, of course, replace specific training on the spot. For instance, we're not going to have training in intelligence gathering through e-learning. No, e-learning will work on a different angle. So it's a part of teaching, using new methods, and using databases which are always up to date. Because one of the main problems, you will remember, is how to keep databases up to date. And e-learning is the answer. E-learning is used throughout the world, and NATO is one of the spearheads of this exercise. NATO having taken on board e-learning before the others. On the stocktake of Libya, lessons learnt. Well, of course, Oana can confirm this, but I wasn't yet ACT when lessons were learned, but several figures have been given. But we need to think about the context in which these figures are to be presented. All we can say is that this operation was a success. There was great transparency in the way in which this operation was managed, be it as regards its objectives and as regards its results. We are pooling together all these results, which in any case are very consistent and which have been given a first run through and are very reassuring as regards precision strikes, as regards the shortfalls in intelligence gathering. Well, I did talk about those. Maybe we need to have more permanent, more continuous surveillance to be able to see how forces are deploying on the ground, how the situation is changing, how targets are moving. And, of course, air-to-air refueling was one of the shortfalls as well. Reactivity was one of the key elements as well.
I've noted quite a few questions. I'll try to keep it to four maximum because we'll need to be, I think, out of here at 2:15 at the latest. Kuna.
Nawab Khan from the Kuwait news agency, Kuna. General, you spoke about developing partnerships with countries and organizations, and you mentioned specifically the European Union. But which other organizations and countries are you thinking of to develop?
We have NATO has developed through the years many partnership framework, including Mediterranean countries, including Eastern countries, including European non-NATO countries, and including Arabic Gulf countries, as you know, in the framework of the Istanbul Initiative. So all those partnerships are open in the framework which is defined. So and NATO is willing to carry on that road. We have a full partnership menu for 2013 with many training opportunities together. There are a lot of interaction, and so I see really the partnership as being, as it was decided in Chicago, by the way, as being the key for the future cooperations. And we have seen that how fruitful could be those cooperations. In Afghanistan, I think there are more than 20 partner nations involved in Afghanistan today. In Libya operations, we have had a lot of good friends, friendly countries interacting and playing a full role in the NATO-led operations. And you remember that. And as a French chief of French Air Force, I hosted the Qatari Air Force. We supported Qatari Air Force. And there were other countries as well involved in those NATO operations. So partnership is open in the framework which is defined. And we are more than happy to carry on that road with all those friendly countries.
Japanese media.
Hi, my name is Takashi. I'm with NHK, Japan Broadcasting Corporation. I don't know whether this question is relevant to you, but of course everybody's looking at the situation in Syria. And I understand that your Patriot system is going to be up and running at the end of this month. And how imminent do you think this missile defense is needed at this juncture? And in terms of missile defense for the future, how does this operation will affect the future missile defense system here in Europe? Thanks.
I'm not responsible of operation command, and Emirates Stability Secure is responsible for that. But nevertheless, I can tell you, and as being a French Air Force general, which was involved very much in the air defense matters, that it's a preventive measure, it's a defensive measure, and it's there just to protect, and it is a key key issue, a key mission, protect Turkey national interest, Turkey people, citizens, Turkey assets. Turkey asked for the application of this measure of collective defense, and NATO agreed for that, and so this is part of, I would say, prevention and protection as well. How much it will influence ballistic missile? It's not ballistic missile defense per se, it's just air defense as we used to do that, using the best assets that we have to do that, which are able really to be as effective as possible against those threats which are possible in this region and this territorial operation. And nothing to say that NATO is ready to do that, and it's just providing this capability to Turkey nowadays.
Yeah, and just to update you on this, as you know.
Pour vous informer de la situation, vous le savez, les premières équipes sont parties pour la Turquie.
They're preparing the ground for deployment. The Patriot batteries themselves starting the journey to Turkey, both by sea and by air, last week. So we would expect the Patriot batteries to be operational by early February, if not perhaps even sooner. James.
Yes, Brooks Tigner, Jane's Defense. You mentioned, General, that you said we need more coherence among the allies for defense planning. I'm wondering, what do you mean by that? I mean, NATO already for decades has tried to accelerate this process and to persuade the member states to send in more updated information about their defense planning. It's been a very frustrating project process. They still don't have the information when they need it. So I'm having some difficulties in seeing how defense planning is going to help ACT. Thank you.
That's a very central question. Firstly, defense planning process had been, I would say, largely, widely upgraded. We are just in the first term, I would say, the first running of the new NATO defense planning process. ACT is not the only one player, but ACT is responsible mainly for the initial phase for the operational requirement and to set up the capabilities and to divide those capabilities in targets for the nations. And I can tell you that we are just engaging the nations in the process, and the results are very promising. Why? I think because the nations are more sensible than ever to the overall environment in which we live, and including those evolution of the threats and the risks, but and on the other hand, the pressure of the budget. And the more you see really, and this is my perception as a new commander, a real will from the nations to cooperate together and to build and to use this NATO defense planning process as being their own tool, because they have decided the targets, they have decided what are the objectives in terms of capabilities, and now they find more and more that we can use this new enhanced NATO defense planning process as a real tool for coherency, as I told you.
Last question to Reuters. I'm sorry, I know there are lots of other questions, but we will need to go.
Thank you, Adrian Croft from Reuters. This is a question for the General and or Wana. And it's a question about the French operation in Mali. Is NATO or will NATO give any consideration to supporting the French mission, perhaps through NATO assets such as AWACS? Thank you.
So far, the operations in Mali is, as you know, and I wouldn't comment on that. It's a national operation in support of Mali. It was decided by the French government, and I think they provide a lot of information about what is happening in Mali. What I can tell you is, firstly, I'm very proud that that France is taking its full part in fighting against terrorism in this part of the world. Secondly, that I'm fully supporting the men and the women who are in charge of those operations and the men and women who are taking part in the operations. And I spare a thought with you for those people who spare their life for the sake of security and safety and freedom. So, but NATO is not involved in that, and so this is a national operation that, as it was described by French President of the Republic.
Adrian, obviously we welcome the efforts of the international community in support of the implementation of the United Nations Security Council Resolution 2085. France has taken swift action to roll back the offensive by the terrorist groups in Mali, and we're hopeful that such efforts will help restore the rule of law in Mali and also reduce the threats posed by terrorist organizations. The alliance as such is not involved in this crisis, but of course the situation in Mali is of grave concern to all of us because it threatens the security and the stability of the country, the region, and beyond. Thank you very much. Terry, there's been no request to NATO and no discussion within NATO on this crisis.